It's great. Who knows what today is?
Sunday.
Sunday what? Sunday fun day? Sunday fun day for who specifically? Got you there. Mother's Day, right? That's one of the greatest things about having moms around there. It's like moms are truly something special in our lives that they go above and beyond most times for kids and just family in general. So hang on a second here. We want to celebrate Mother's Day today. And to celebrate Mother's Day, we decided to, well, just a simple little gift for some moms here. So let me say, if we have kids here, that your mom is here, I want you to come up and I want you to grab a flower for your mom. So don't be shy. Come up. All of the kids, not just one representative, but all of you, come on up here and grab a flower for your mom. Oh, it's so embarrassing. Touching it. What is this? What is this? It's like, not it. There's more than enough for you to choose from. Go embarrass your mom. Hand it to your mom. Tell them, thank you very much for being my mom. Well, not my mom, your mom. So. And I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Randy, would you come up here and volunteer for me, please? Please. It's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. I know we have more moms here than that your kids are not here, but I know you're here, and we want to celebrate you also. So if you're a mom that's here and your child is not here, you didn't get a flower yet, I want you to just raise your hand quick, and Randy is going to come bring you a flower. I think every person here, every future moms right there. So is that it? Thank you very much. So, okay. I have more flowers. So if you want more flowers when you leave, please come up and get them. They're pretty. Do they smell good? Smell good? Okay. Let's pray for our moms quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for one of the greatest gifts that you give, and that's our moms. And as we celebrate them on this special day, Lord, I pray that you would put a special blessing for them, to Lord, so that they would truly feel how much they are cared for. And all the things they do, Lord, all the work that they do, sometimes just as people, we can feel that we're not appreciated. But I want mothers here to know that every day that they're appreciated, and especially this day as we celebrate that. So, Lord, I ask this blessing. I ask the blessing that they would feel exponentially loved, and they would feel that and know that's for every day and just not today. Lord, lift them up and let them have a sunshine day, Lord, to go out and celebrate with their families and to feel the love that is truly out there for them. We pray this to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, you know, usually sometimes with Mother's Day, I like to put together a Mother's Day message, but not this time around. We need to finish up our guardrail series because we have another series coming up with on the Holy Spirit that's coming next weekend. But we needed to finish up our guardrail series today in truly understanding guardrails. And we're going to step outside the bounds of relationships today in our guardrail so we can understand another guardrail that has been put in place for us. And this is not always a pleasant area that people like to be reminded of for guardrails, but we're going to go into it anyway. So we'll just hang on and we'll pray that the Holy Spirit would speak into your life, that the things that you need to hear that you would hear, and the things that are for somebody else that you would hear them also, but recognize that they're for somebody else. So we'll do that, and then we'll let the Lord speak into us. So guardrails. Remember what guardrails are? Guardrails are those things put in along the pathway in the safety zone to keep us safe, right? We've kind of drilled that into everybody's head, that these are here for a very special reason, because God has built guardrails into our lives to keep us safe. He wants us to be safe, right? So he puts those in place so we won't go over the edge, and stuff from outside will not be able to get in and to injure us. Because that's the way our Lord works. And in one area of our lives that he talks about guardrails is a specific area that there's more than 2,000 scriptures written on this specific type of subject. Not a specific, you know, one title thing, but it's a round general subject. And that has to do with money, possession, riches. Did you realize that there's more than 2,000 scripture written on this particular type of subject? That's a lot of scripture written on something, and it's probably there for a reason. It's there to get our attention. It's there to teach us and direct us so that we would walk in the way that He wants us to walk in that particular area. In fact, many of Jesus' parables had to deal with possession, money, or riches in one way or another. If you go in and you actually look at all the parables that are written there, there's quite a few that involve this subject. And it's important that we realize that. Because there's a saying out in the world. Now, this is a saying that I kind of grew up with, but I don't know if it's a saying that's prevalent today. But it's a saying that money is the root of all evil. You ever heard that? Ever heard that? Is that something you still say today? Your kids? You've heard it? Yeah? You know what it is anyway? It says that money is the root of all evil, right? And it's, well, it's something that's to suggest that money is bad. Riches, overabundance of possession. To say money, that that's bad for you. That if you have money, if you have an abundance of riches, if you have these things, that it means that, well, perhaps you're bad also. But that's the way, that, you know, when you think about that specific saying from the world, that's the way it kind of translates out there. But that's not correct. That saying is not correct. That saying has been taken from its original form and changed around to mean something different than it was what is originally supposed to say. And it's the original saying that I want to direct your attention to today. And this is this original saying that is going to show us the guardrails that we need to have in our lives. So if you have your app, your Bible, whatever, I want you to pick that up. And I want you to turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, right before 2 Timothy, just in case you're wondering. 1 Timothy, and I want you to turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And we're going to wait just a couple seconds because this is something I want you to actually read for yourselves. Even though they're going to put it on the screen in front of you, I want you to look at your scripture and I want you to read it. So that way you will see it in the Word yourself. It's not something that I have taken and misconstrued. It's not something I have taken and changed around. You're going to read the original version of it. So it's chapter 6, verse 10. Where it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Now, when you look at that, you look at that and says, well, that's very similar to what you said, the saying of the world, money is the root of all evil, right? But I want you to look at the beginning of this scripture and see what it actually says. It says, "For the love of money, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Okay? The love of money, not money, the love. And it's not that money is evil, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So you need to understand that having money or having this in your life is not necessarily a bad thing because, well, God gives precedence. He gives guardrails. He gives boundaries. He gives instructions on how we're supposed to react and interact with money, possession, and riches. That we're not supposed to do what, folks? We're not supposed to love money. Meaning if you love money, that you put money, you put these possessions, you put riches before anything else in life. That means that it encompasses your whole reason for being. That when you get up in the morning, that's what you think of. And when you go to bed at night, that's what you're thinking about. The love of money. This is bad. This is a bad part where we have that, where it can really affect a person. Placing money before good values is extremely bad, right? Wouldn't you agree? That you need to have good values before money that encompassing. But money can be the root of all kinds of evil. Not all evil, but all kinds of evil. And the reason for that is because, well, people get really emotionally involved with money, with riches, with possessions. We can really be construed in our lives and looking at the things that we have, and it becomes something that over-encompasses our lives. It creates strong emotions in people, either good or bad. I know there are people out there that say debit cards are so bad, all of them should be just destroyed. Talk the same thing about credit cards, credit card debts. These are things that they just boil up strong emotions in people, usually on one side or the other. But the love of those things is what we're talking about. Sometimes even the money that you have, that a person is just wishing to have more. They just want more. That is something that drives them in every aspect of their lives. Because it can be easily, it truly can easily become the center of a person's life. Riches. And when I say money, the word I want you to picture in your mind is whatever riches you can think of that over-encompass your mind, over-encompass your life. Because that's truly what we're talking about. We may say money, but it could be just about anything. Whatever the riches are that in your life that may take over your life, that's what we're talking about. That's why these guardrails are in place. And having these guardrails for the riches in your life. And when we talk about this, when we go through this, I want you to remember that. In Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 5, it says, to keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has says, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. It's a very common scripture that we refer to a lot of times. I've referred to it quite many times about how God will never leave you nor forsake you, right? We hear that all the time. We like that part of it. We enjoy the fact that God will never leave us nor forsake us, but we rarely go back and we take a look at the beginning of that scripture and truly dive into and look at what it says there. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money / riches and be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of riches. We're supposed to live a life of being free from something that can encompass us and take over our lives so quickly and be content with what we have. How many times are we not content with what we have? We're not content with what the Lord has given us in our lives. That we're always seeking something else outside of what we have. We become jealous because somebody else has something that we want. Whether it's money, whether it's riches, whether it's just items, whatever it might be, TVs, cars, land, whatever. That we look at them and we go, I want that. And sometimes we have bad thoughts in our head and says, well, they don't deserve that. They haven't done anything to get that. Well, that's not your purview. That's not what you should be thinking about. The Lord gave them that. The Lord allowed them to have it. If you're supposed to have it, the Lord will give it to you. But there's certain things that we need to maintain in our lives, these boundaries of being jealous about other people, being envious of others. It doesn't mean that we don't strive forward, we don't try to get something else, that we become complacent in a lot of things. What it means is that be content with what you have for right now. If you are content with what you have and you are faithful with the little things, more will be given to you. Our Lord talks about this repeatedly, about being faithful with the things that you have. And when you show God that you are faithful with the little things, He delivers so much more to you because you become somebody that He can rely on, He can trust with the little things. He says, I know that I can trust Him with the little things, I can trust Him with the big things. You know what? We're not supposed to test the Lord our God, are we? But I said nothing about Lord not testing us. About saying, hey, I want to look and see if they're ready for what I want to give them. And He will do those things. He will come out and He will try to teach us. And sometimes, you know, it's just like going to school. You try to learn things and they have exams at school. Well, sometimes the Lord has exams. And he puts that out there to show us that we can be better. To not be envious of other things and to start putting what needs to be in front, to put first things first, right? So what belongs first? What belongs in your life first? What truly encompasses or what should encompass your life and everything that you do? Well, Jesus spoke about this so prevalently and so openly that he would tell people, these are the things that you're supposed to seek first. In the book of Matthew, he talks about seek his kingdom first and his righteousness first, and all these things will be given to you as well. That we're supposed to seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. Well, if you were to go into Matthew chapter 6 and read in chapter 6 where it talks about do not worry, it's talking about all these things that you need to live on. It's talking about the clothes that you wear. It's talking about what you drink, what you eat. It's talking about all those things that we need to survive. But he says, don't seek these first, seek me first, and then I will give these to you. How many times do we get that mixed around? That we start seeking these things first. We place money, we place possessions, we place riches first in our life. And it's understandable. I understand it. And you guys probably understand why that happens. It's because we all got to have these things to survive, right? That's how this world, that's how it rolls. That's what it does. It says you got to have money to pay for these things. And if anybody's been down to the grocery store lately, you know what the price has done lately. The price is not better today than it was yesterday. And that's why it encompasses us and what we think about and how we look at money, because we always need these things to help provide for our families so they would have things to wear. They would have food to eat. They would have a roof over their house. It's how we survive, because everything costs money. We end up, when we do that, we end up placing the comfort of our physical selves above our spiritual self. We stop thinking about what we need spiritually because we're so worried about what we need physically. It's a tough thing to get out of our heads. It's a tough thing to realize that. And it's not a reflection upon anybody being a bad person. It's just a reflection of reality and how we think about things. But we're asked, we're told by our Lord to not think of these things first. We're just think of him first and his righteousness. And he says, then I will give all this stuff to you. I can't remember. Well, I can remember. I can remember when I came here to Inwood. Jody and I were looking at moving. We were looking at buying a house. In fact, we had found something. We couldn't afford to buy a house. Prices of houses went up so crazy. Interest rates are crazy. Price of lumber went up so high that you couldn't even afford to build a house. So we were going to rent. And we were going to do something. And we were going to step out in faith and say, God, if this is what you want us to do, if you want Jody and I to leave Vermilion and you want us to go somewhere else, we're going to step out and we're going to do that. So we did. And we stepped out in faith. We stepped out in his name. And we said, we're going to go where you send us. And the next thing you know, he sent us here. And everything just fell into place. Everything. Housing. Everything. The exact house. The type of house we were looking for. The exact number of bedrooms and bathrooms. The exact thing. The garage. The exact price of the house. Exactly. I'm telling you folks, exactly. Exactly what we were looking for and what we wanted to get wasn't available where we were going. But he said, I'm going to send you here. You step out of faith, and it happened. It happened. Some of these people here, they know, because it just happened to be a conversation we were having. One simple conversation that the Lord provided. And he says, seek me and my kingdom first, and all these things will be given to you. I'm hoping that each and every person here can remember a time like that. That when you just stepped out in faith, all of a sudden the next thing you know is exactly what you needed, He provided. I pray that each and every one of you has had an experience like that. And if you haven't, I pray that you will. Because it shows what happens when you have faith in God and you seek Him first. It truly is amazing. But when we start to place the comfort of ourself above the comfort of our spiritual self, we start losing ourself in the love of money and possessions. We lose ourself. And when we lose ourself, when we're loving the riches, we're loving the things, that leads down a very dangerous and slippery slope. It's a slope like none other. It's about what we're replacing what's important in our life with something that's not really that important. Or at least not as important, which we should put first. Because when we start going down that slope and we start thinking that money or riches are the biggest thing in our life, and we put that first in our lives, we are never satisfied with that. There are many millionaires and billionaires in this world, and the only thing I can hear them talking about is how they're making their next million. It's like you have $1 million, or you're a billionaire. How can you not be satisfied on that? But they aren't. They aren't. Because something happens in there. You ever noticed that the more money you make, the more money you spend? It's like, you know what? I used to live like this on this budget, and then I got more money. And it's like, how come I can't live on that anymore? What came into my life that filled up, and I had to spend this amount of money now? Where did I go wrong with that? But it usually happens that way. The more money you make, the more money you spend, right? But we're not supposed to love money. And the reason we're not supposed to love money is because whoever loves money never has enough. Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, that's not one I usually use a lot, but Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. That the more money that you make, that the more that you have, you're not satisfied with what you have. You're seeking more of that because it's something that will never fill you up. It will never satiate you inside and make you full. There's always something missing in there, and you think about replacing it with the riches that come in your life instead of that one person, that one being, our Lord and Savior, who can actually fill a person. We think about money instead of thinking about God. Always wanting more. And God knows this. He understands this about His children. He understands this about us. So He addresses money continually. If you want to know how much He addresses money, read through the book of Proverbs. And you will see how often He refers to money and riches and foolishness and wisdom in there. About living a life according to Him. He continually tells us, Jesus in all his wisdom when He was here, He counseled people continually on what the way they should live with riches, with money. Because people, we, all of us, and I do mean all of us, there's not one person that gets left out. All of us can feel the pull of riches at one point or time in life. I remember when I was a kid and I was out detasseling corn and I was getting my first paychecks. And what I was going to do with that first paycheck, man, I was. Next thing I know, that paycheck's gone. That pull of money. This is my own money. I can do whatever I want with it. I found out quickly that it goes much faster than it comes in. I can spend that thing in about 30 seconds when it takes me about 30 years to get it. And this is what the Lord understands, and that's why He cautions us so much. People are susceptible. You know, He wants to teach us not to rely on money. And that's basically what it boils down to. I don't want you to rely upon money, says. And He tried to teach that, and He especially taught it to His disciples. Do you remember when He was sending out His disciples to go out and speak to the region around there? In the book of Mark, you can read in there where he called the 12 people to him. He called his 12 disciples, and he began to send them out two by two. Do you remember that account? Do you remember the story of that? And he gave them authority over impure spirits. He gave them authority over impure spirits. He gave them power. But he also gave them very, very specific and special instructions. And he instructed them, said, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Take nothing with you. He gave them a piece of himself. And he said, don't take anything else with you. Leave with what you have on. He was trying to teach them to rely upon him and what he had given them instead of them relying upon what they might have had in their bags to eat or to buy or anything else. Rely upon me. Rely upon the Spirit inside of you. Come to me. Forget about the rest. You'll be given it. It comes to us. He's trying to teach them to rely upon the Heavenly Father, right? Because Jesus knew it was very much a pitfall for us when it comes to having two masters. And most of us know the idea about having two masters. Jesus tells us blatantly that no one can serve two masters. We can't. Either you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Because he says what? You cannot serve both God and money. Right? You can't serve both. You can only serve one. And it's important that we realize that. It's tough. It's tough realizing that. And it's like, well, why can't I have both? And I got to thinking about that as we're putting together this message. And there was something that was revealed to me. Did you know there's only one prayer in the book of Proverbs? One prayer in the book of Proverbs. And it's written by somebody, a little known somebody. It wasn't written by Solomon. It was written by somebody in the book of Proverbs. Grab your Bibles. I want you to see this. And go to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, I want you to turn to chapter 30. Chapter 30. In here, at the very beginning, it says that these are the sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, an inspired utterance. Now, we have no idea who these people are other than the fact that we're introduced to them in Proverbs. Nobody knows who they are except for the fact that we know what the son and we know the father's name. That's it. That's all we're given. But it was only in this one person, this single inspired utterance, that the only prayer in the book of Proverbs was given. I want you to go look, starting with verse 7. In verse 7, where it says, two things I ask of you, Lord. Now, most prayers, they encompass a lot of things, right? And they encompass asking sometimes, right? And it said, these two things I ask of you, Lord. And he goes on, please do not refuse me before I die. And he asks for two things. And he goes on to say, the first being, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Okay? But it's the second part I want you to really pay attention to where it says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Something that we hear a lot of times, we pray a lot of times with the Lord's Prayer about receiving our daily bread. Why? Because that's what we need, our daily bread. But why shouldn't we have more than that? And it's addressed right here. Right in this prayer, it's addressed of why we only need or should receive our daily bread. And he goes on to say in verse 9, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. We're told why we're supposed to be content with our daily bread. For the simple fact that if we get too much, we become self-efficient, as we would say. And we start to disown God, saying, I don't need God. I have everything I need right here. And you rely upon the money and the riches that you have. Or if you don't have enough, talks about how, if I don't have it, I'm going to steal and so dishonor you. These are why that we have what we have and why we should be content. God knows what we can do with what we are given. And He knows when we are ready for more. We are supposed to live a life dedicated to Him, because we know that the Lord can truly bless us richly, right? We know these things. And we all receive riches in some form or another. We all receive something. Some of us receive money. Some of us receive gifting. Some of us receive possession. Some of us receive whatever it is that God wants to give you. He usually gifts everybody with something. You just have to realize what He has given you and be content with it. And stop going out and saying, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I'm owed. Because God gives us what we need to get along. Whether it's money, whether it's riches, possessions, whatever it might be. But money in and of itself, riches in and of itself, possessions in and of itself are not evil. It's how we use them that becomes evil. It's how we desire them that becomes evil. And we need to realize that. We need to learn how to handle the gifts that we've already been given. Because God wants us to truly be good stewards of what He has given us. Peter, in his first letter, he said this. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have been promised, or given, or received, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're supposed to use what we have, what He's already given us, as good stewards. Whether that's the ability to sing, the ability to fix things, money, whatever it might be, or to be good stewards with it, or to use it for Him. Be faithful, right? But the money and the pursuit of wealth quickly becomes enticing. And I get it. I understand it. But the thing is, God has guardrails there to really help us out with that. He's placed them all over the Scripture. He's actually placed them in your heart to know when it's not good. And He gives these guardrails for everything from lending to spending to storing. But this money, what He gives us, the gift that He gives us, was never there to replace God. It was never there to take over and become first in our lives. We need to be reminded that God is always supposed to be first, right? And to live like He wants us to live. Because all we have comes from God. All we have. And as much as He gives, well, it can be taken away quickly. It can be destroyed. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 says, to store up yourselves treasures in heaven. It says, store them there where moths and vermins do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. We need to be faithful for what He's given us, no matter what it is. Store up our treasures in heaven. Use them as good stewards and faithfully in going out. Because one thing is true. Ultimately, we will worship our wealth, or we will worship with our wealth. It's one or the other. You can't have both. You can't have two masters. So I want you to remember this as we finish out our guardrails, that our guardrails are put in there for a very, very good reason. And this is not all the guardrails. I certainly did not encompass an all-exhausting guardrails for our lives. Read through the Scripture, and you can find the guardrails. They're so important to keeping us safe, keeping us on the right path, so that one day we will come to heaven and he will yell out to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." For that is truly, as followers of Jesus, that is what we wish for, right? So as we're going to stand and we're going to worship, I want you to think about the guardrails that you have in life. And when's the last time you came in and you bumped up against a guardrail to remind you? As we worship, I want you to remember that God doesn't do these things to be mean. He does this because he loves us so much. So we're going to continue to worship this morning. And as you go out and you spend Mother's Day with your moms, hopefully, and around somebody that you can truly worship and be around in our relationships, I pray that you would truly remember God loves you deeply. God loves you deeply.